Join us now for an encouraging word from our senior pastor, Greg Thurstenson. Here's the message.
Obviously, we've reached the studio participation part of today's sermons. I can't begin to tell you how much truth is in what Pastor Clint said this morning when he said this is the most wonderful place on the earth. Because for your pastor, in many ways and many times, you make me feel that way. And this morning, we begin our journey in God's Word and our time of learning together in Mark chapter 4 and verse 35. As our studio has already made you aware of, I've been traveling this week. I went to care for my parents who are in another season of caregiving in their life and needing my help. And so the early part of the week, I caught the plane and things were going well and I headed home and had a great week. An interesting moment took place. I had gotten to the airport in plenty enough time. Pastor Dina dropped me off. I cleared security. There was no need for a background check or a frisking of your pastor. I was able to make it to the gate. Okay. And I'm one of those individuals that fly Southwest Airlines, and so I spend a little up front so that I can ensure loading in the first group. They load by groups. For those of you that may not travel, those that load first, besides pre-boarding, is group A, and then there's group B, there's group C, and so on. And so I was able to check in, and I had A30, which ensured for me the chance to sit by the window, because when I travel, when I fly, I'm like a little kid. I love to travel, and I especially love to fly. And so as I was just waiting for the rest of the passengers to board, I heard the pilot say that this was going to be a full flight. So scoot over and make room for those coming. This is a full flight and there will be no empty seats. So take your purses and your briefcases that you were using to make it look like someone is seated next to you and put them under the seat in front of you. And so as I was seated there waiting for the rest of the crew, so to speak, to load up and get a place in the plane, a lady that was a little older than myself, suddenly flung herself down in the section of seats that I was seated in. She had an armful of things that should have probably been checked, but she didn't want to pay extra, so they all came tumbling down in the row of seats that I was a part of. And I had my joy of the Lord on, and I had my happy face, and I do what I am, and I am what I do. And so I said, well, good morning. How are you this morning? It looks like it'll just be the two of us. And silly me, I knew better, but I didn't do better. I said, well, ma'am, what's wrong? She said, I didn't get a window seat. And she looked at me like that was now my problem. She must have picked up on the fact that I'm kind of like a merciful person and I like to fix problems and I'll be quick to make a change if it makes somebody else feel better. And so I was sitting there, I was getting my speech prepared, I had unloaded some of my things and I was doing some study like on today's sermon, and so I was getting ready to preach another masterpiece. It's a rough crowd. And so I was waiting because about that time they told us that it was time to return all of our stuff to a stowed position. Pull your seats up, put your trays away, get ready, we're fixing to take off. And so I was thinking, once we get in the air, I'll change places with her. And she can be happy, and I can feel like I changed the world and made it a better place. And so as I was getting to that point, and we were getting up in the air, she kept looking at me, and she kept looking at the window. And I was like, wow, this lady, she's lost her peace. And she's about to make me lose my peace. And so as we were doing that, the flight attendant, the waitress in the sky, that's not demeaning. She comes by, she notices that this lady's very flustered, and she said, ma'am, is there anything I can help you with? And so the flight attendant is right here to the left. Here's the aisle. I'm over here by the window. This older lady, she looks at me, looks at the window, looks at the flight attendant, and then whispers something. And the flight attendant says, well, ma'am, I can't hear what you're saying. So they have a little holy huddle right there in the middle of the plane. Then it gets worse because then the flight attendant looks at me, looks at the window, looks at her, and they talk a little bit more, and then she walks off. I suddenly feel like I'm in some place getting a pedicure, and they're like saying, oh, so pretty. You're pretty. And I'm like, this is really a bad YouTube video happening right here, and I'm in the middle of it, and I'm going to be punked before it's all over. So I'm just sitting there trying to, you know, practice peace. Because we're in the middle of this series, Pursuing Peace. And so God's given me an example right here and a chance to pass the test of pursuing peace. A few moments later, the flight attendant comes back and gives her a blue can of a beverage that I found out later wasn't some alcoholic beverage. It was just a thing of water, H2GO. I assumed it was alcohol because this lady needed some peace. She was having some anxious issues. So we're up in the air now. It's 10,000 feet. We can unbuckle and we can get out our laptops. And so at this point, I've decided, you know what? I paid extra to sit next to the window. I am not her problem. I cannot fix this. So I am not giving up this window. And so I'm sitting there and I feel the joy of the Lord come all over me. And I was like, peanuts in one hand, pretzels in the other, and I'll take a Diet Coke so this won't cost me nothing on my calorie count today. The lady looks at me. She does her thing again. Looks at the window and then takes her jacket and flings it over her head. Boom. Don't you mess with me, I'll put you up on social media. Every once in a while, she would peek out from underneath her hood, look at me, shake her head. I didn't know if she was practicing for the Kentucky Derby or something, man, like she was a horse. So we go on like this. It's a two-hour flight, and we're about ready to have to start getting ready to land. When I realized that Sprite and that coffee from the morning caught up with me, and so I'm like, oh, my gosh. This lady looks like the lady on the back of the station wagon in National Lampoon Vacation, and I'm like, I'm going to have to crawl over her. I'm like, this is going to come with a cost, but it's going to be worse if I stay. All the over 50 crowds said, boom, there it is. Some of you are like, you know, I've been wanting to try this church, and I've been driving back and forth. This is my first time to visit. I cannot believe these people are not even saved. And can I tell you, you have the gift of discernment. You are absolutely right. Okay, a few of you are. Okay, you are. We are. We just believe that learning about the Lord and His Word and implementing it in our life can be done with a good sense of humor. Because life gives us enough to weep over. Let's have some joy this morning up in here, up in your heart, and up in this house. So back to 10,000 feet in the air, I got to use the restroom. I politely crawl over her. I hear her grumble, mumble, and off to the bathroom I go. I'm thinking, wow, this flight has been great other than the lady. I come back to my seat, and on the way down the aisle, I'm thinking to myself, I'm going to have to crawl over her again. What am I going to do? This is going to be real bad. I look in the aisle, and she's not in her seat, only to realize that while I was gone, she took mine. I come back to where I am sitting. She's by the window with the hood over her head. I'm like, what do you do? So I sit down and I go, She looks out from underneath her little hood and she said,
You've had the window long enough. It's my turn now.
Well, righty then. So not more than 10 minutes later, I guess, or so, we land. And so once we land, she takes off her hood and she looks at me and she said, this is a continuing flight. Will you be continuing on or will you be getting off? And I looked at her and I said, well, ma'am, I'll be getting off. And she's like, well, bless you. Have a nice day. And that was the beginning of my trip. The beginning of the series was found in Mark chapter 4. And verse 35, and if you have a coat this morning and I see you put it over your head, then I'll get that memo. Mark chapter 4 says in verse 35, that day when evening came, Jesus said to his disciples. Now last week we realized that this is a story not just to those disciples in that boat, in their storm, but that this is a teaching to you as a disciple in your storm. And he tells them, let us go over to the other side. We realized last week that there are things in our life that God wants us to get over. There's some things in the past that we're still fighting about, and it's time for us to use that energy and instead of fighting for our rights, fight for what's right. Too often in relationships, we spend our best energy fighting for our rights instead of fighting for what's right. So the Lord has said to the disciples, let's go to the other side. Verse 36 says, leaving the crowd behind, they took him along just as he was in the boat. There were also other boats with him. A furious squall came up and the waves broke over the boat so that it was nearly swamped. Jesus was in the stern sleeping on a cushion. The disciples woke him in the midst of their storm and said to him, teacher, don't you even care if we drown? He got up, rebuked the wind and said to the waves, quiet, be still, or peace, be still. Then the wind died down and it was completely calm. He said to his disciples, why are you so afraid? Do you still have no faith? They were terrified and they asked each other, who is this? Even the wind and the waves obey him. This morning we're continuing our series on pursuing peace. And I think it might be good for us as disciples to pray. And so Heavenly Father, we pray. Recognizing, God, there's a lot of things that you have ordered and spoken in and over our lives, and that you're wanting us to get over some things. You're wanting us to get over anger and resentment and bitterness and control. You're wanting us to get over holding people up with unforgiveness. You're wanting to take us to the other side. And so, Lord, give us the strength and the strategy to do just that this morning. God, we ask for you and your power to still the storm on the outside of us, and to give us your strength to still the storm on the inside of us. And together we all prayed and said, amen. Just to take a moment to recap from last week, let's be reminded that God spoke to the storm on their outside, on the outside of their lives. But he didn't speak to the storm on the inside of their lives. That part of the storm would be up to the disciples. It would be up to them to use their faith to apply the principles and the disciplines that lead to peace. In verse 36, it says that the Lord was with them as he was. So what we learn here is that God was in the storm with them as he was, but they would be in the storm as they were. Now that's a lot easier to say than it is to do as disciples. Now I am absolutely convinced that not every storm in life is as a result of our disobedience or our lack of faith. I think sometimes it is our faithfulness and obedience that God uses. And he grows us to one place in our life. And yet he desires to mature us even beyond that place. And so the Lord will say, I want you to go to the other side. You've grown as much as you can on this side. Now I want you to take a step of faith and follow me to the other side. And even when God speaks that, he knows the storm that's between here and there. He knows that the storm is what's in the middle. And that that storm is going to bring you back to a dependence on him that most likely you did not have before the storm. So since this is continuing to go so well, let me tell you there is one big takeaway that I want us as a church to recognize and learn together from last week's lesson. That's simply this. Peace has to be pursued. And at times it even has to be awakened. And can I remind you that he has power to bring peace to the storm on the outside of you and the storm on the inside of you. But in order for that to take place, you are going to have to use your strength and your effort and your energy to bring about his perfect peace. Hebrews tells us in chapter 12 and verse 14 to make every effort to live in peace. That's hard all by itself. Make every effort to live in peace with, let's say this next word together, everyone. So let's read this verse up to the word everyone. Make every effort to live in peace with everyone. Well, Pastor Greg, you don't know everyone in my circle. And can I remind you, nor do you know everyone in mine. Now, God never asks something of us that's impossible in the sense that he can't do it through us. When he asks us to make every effort to live in peace with everyone, typically there's someone. When he encourages me, when he convicts me to make peace and to make every effort to live in peace with everyone, there is at least one someone. And that someone has a history in my boat. Sometimes they're the ones that caused the rocking of the boat. It was their words, it was their actions, it was their attitudes that rocked my boat. They were the wind beneath my wings. They were the water beneath my boat. And their attitude stirred things up. Typically, when the Lord says someone to me, they've not only caused a storm on the outside of me, but they've created a storm on the inside of me. Now, what's crazy is that sometimes people that create the storm leave the disciple. And you're left in the boat without them. And yet, even though they're gone, the storm hasn't gone with them. Oh, I just wish somebody would help me. The memory of what they said, the memory of what they did, the memory of what you continue to hear others say, they're saying, stirs up the storm on the inside of you to such a degree that if you're not careful, you'll think that same storm is on the outside of you. Make every effort, he says, to live in peace with everyone and to be holy. Without holiness, no one will see the Lord. See to it that no one falls short of the grace of God. I think typically we find in our life what Scripture's saying here is that when he says make every effort to live in peace with someone, he's not just saying everyone, but typically it's a someone. It's because in that situation, there is a falling short of grace. They may be falling short, you may be falling short, and now the relationship is falling short. And anywhere the grace of God is not, it gives the root of bitterness a place to grow up and cause trouble, and not just cause trouble, but defile many. So when God begins to say, make every effort to live in peace with everyone, make every effort to live in peace with that someone, he's saying to us, beware. You've left yourself vulnerable. You've not resolved that. You've not let them go. You're holding aught, offense, and unforgiveness. And so in relationship to that person, in your heart there's a gap. And in that gap, the enemy has planted a seed of bitterness. And if you keep visiting that place, those memories, and you keep calling that someone to mind, each time you visit it, it will fertilize that seed until it grows up as a root and it will defile many. Speaking of offense, I saw this on Facebook this week, so we know the principle is true. It was a meme that said, I'm offended. I'm offended is basically telling the world you can't control your own emotions, so everyone else should do it for you. This Dr. Phil moment brought to you by I'm offended is basically telling the world you can't control your own emotions, so everyone else should do it for you. Typically, in our hearts, in our lives, where the grace of God is lacking towards someone, it ends up affecting everyone. And in that space, there is no grace. And in that space, the root of bitterness starts out as a little bitty seed, and then it grows into a monster that not only leaves you troubled, but begins to defile every relationship as you move forward. That can be true of a place in yourself that you can't let go of and you can't forgive. In that space, a root this morning is growing. And yet in that space where you lack peace, God has a provision of grace. Maybe that someone is not you. Maybe that someone is someone else. Or maybe that someone else is God. Can I encourage you to let God begin to visit the spaces in your heart? Because if you're not careful, if you haven't let grace into that space, there's a root growing, and it's a bitter root. And it's going to cause you even more trouble. And it's going to not just defile you, but it's going to defile many. This week I learned a new truth, or maybe a new way of expressing an old truth. Being with my family teaches me many things about myself and about my family. Isn't it amazing how you can grow up thinking that you live in the Hallmark movie and that you have the perfect family? Only one day to wake up and realize, wait, we should have been on the Jerry Springer show all along. We are that family. I learned by being with my fellow Jerry Springer family members this week that it's next to impossible to have peace if you're busy defending your demands, your feelings, your rights, your wants, and your way. That kind of behavior is the breeding ground for confusion, control, offense, accusation, and division. And that's not healthy. That's death to relationships. I want to say that again because at least it was life-changing for me, and my hope is that you'll catch the truth. It's next to impossible to have peace if you're spending all your time defending your demands, your feelings, your rights, your wants, and your ways. If that's you, or if that's someone in your Springer family, that kind of behavior is the breeding ground for ongoing confusion, control, offense, accusation, and division. So we pause for another Thurston life story. Again, I'm answering the studio's question, how was your week? How was your trip? You got to hear the start and even saw a picture of the lady who decided to close me off and close me out. She went undercover, but she was still some kind of trouble. Unresolved loss, resentment, and can I tell you, there is road rage, not just out there, but there is spiritual road rage in the hearts of many people right here. And for us to talk in terms of a revival coming on the outside, we must understand it first comes with a renewal and a revival on the inside. Romans chapter 8 says in verse 5, those who are dominated by the sinful nature think about sinful things. But those who are controlled by the Holy Spirit think about things that please the Spirit. So letting your sinful nature control your mind leads to death, but letting the Spirit control your mind leads to life and peace. Can I remind you, last week we looked at two different steps of faith that would be asked of your faith as disciples in your boat of life. There are two things when the wind and the waves begin to rock your boat that you have a responsibility to carry out by faith. The first is that you're to make every effort to pursue peace by receiving God's forgiveness. Because peace with God is the foundation for peace in every other area of your life. Secondly, we must understand that we have to make every effort to make the decision to like ourselves. that we're to love our neighbors as we love ourselves. The problem with that is many, many of God's people don't love themselves very much, and so it makes it impossible to love others. I'm absolutely convinced that we fail to ignore these symptoms and these signs that says that we lack peace. I gave you about 10 of them last week. Number one, I said, here's a reason why we lack peace. It's because we allow our minds to remain messy, undisciplined, and lazy. Number two, we make bad choices. And then we expect God and others to bless our bad decisions. Thirdly, we walk around with a lot of unconfessed sin in our life. Number four, here's a reason we lack peace. We don't take time to get firmly grounded in God's love, but we continue to stay grounded in our feelings, our rights, and our ways. A fifth reason we lack peace is we struggle with a guilty conscience. Sixth, we're just too busy to slow down and take care of what's on the inside of us. Number seven, we develop and continue to maintain toxic, unhealthy relationships. Number eight, we lack boundaries. And so because we lack boundaries, we don't know how to keep other people from trespassing. And other people barge their way into our life, and they hold us hostage. They hold us ransomed with their demands. So my family likes to hold me hostage. They like to get me on two different planes, then in a rent car, and in a local hotel to do life their way. And life their way is lived in the living room where we talk about everything but never resolve anything. Another instance this week, my family was talking about what we needed to do. And again, the pressure was on in the heat of the moment. The real unresolved emotions and memories came to surface. And again, my sister and my mom are screaming at each other. It's about lunch. I'm hungry. And they pause to catch a breath. My mom from her oxygen tank and my sister from her cigarette. And so they looked at me. I'm sorry, too much? It's my family. You're in the front room with me at home in Flora Vista, New Mexico. My mom says, well, Greg, what do you think? I said, Mama, I think I've had way too much of all this. So I'm going to go to town, get me a bite to eat. Then I'm going to go back to my hotel room and I'm going to lay down. Because y'all are about to cost me my peace and my peace of mind. And you're not really trying to address the problem today. You're still trying to tell each other about problems. And when y'all get tired of living in history and you're ready to move beyond this I didn't say that, but I thought it, this sci-fi movie, I'll be back. So you know what I did? I got in the car, went to town. The Lord led me to Dairy Queen. I called my wife. Not realizing that I didn't hit the mute button, she heard me order a medium ice cream cone, my all-time favorite. She asked me, well, how are you doing on your weight this week? Good, great. I bet that medium ice cream cone from Dairy Queen is going to help a lot. I'm like, but I was doing good before now. Got me an ice cream cone, went back to my room, went on a walk, put my praise and worship on, laid down, took a nap, and 3 hours later went back to my house. Now, I bet I know what some of you are thinking. Some of you are like, I can't believe you left. What a terrible son. How irresponsible of you. I wasn't ugly. I didn't yell. I calmly told him exactly where I was going and why. And when I came back, my mama was in the kitchen, and I came in. I'm like, hi, Mom, how are you? She's like, oh, I feel so much better because you look like you've calmed down. I was so upset, Greg, because you just left, and I just knew that you were so upset, and I was just afraid, you know, these last 2 or 3 hours I've been binding the devil, and he's going to get out of our life. And I'm like, Mama, he never got in. Not mine. I said, Mama, I'm fine. I didn't get offended. I didn't get upset, but I left before I lost my peace. It's called boundaries. And sadly, many of us lack them, And so we allow people to trespass. And here's a stronger term. They prostitute us because their words and expectations demand something of us not even God does. Okay, I'm almost done. Number 9, we leave a lot of unresolved conflict up in the air, which is what my family's good at. Number 10, we harbor unhealthy expectations of ourselves and of others. I know sometimes when you sit here, I see you and you see me, and some of you keep trying to hide behind somebody in back of you, and that's always a sure sign. This is a message for you. And then people that really need it the most leave the first, and that's a message for them. Actually, they're serving kids' ministries, but as I get ready to close, I learned something this week about peace and what many, many times it comes down to. Control. Control. I want you to try that on. I think a lot of us have tried different things. They haven't really worked. Have you ever given thought to control? Control is the issue. At the deepest root of you and why you lack peace is your demand to be in control. I watched my family become paralyzed because they were trying to answer questions of what could happen instead of addressing what is happening. Now, I by no means am the hero in my story with my family. I don't want you to get that. But it is my story, so I can at least pick which particular person I want to be in my story. But because I've had to, in this season of my life, look back and say, look, I'm almost 54 years old, and I still got a lot of life to live. The wise man looks around and says, who's a little further in their journey than me, and what can I learn from him? And this morning, he's going to speak a blessing over your life. I can look around and see who really brings peace to my life. And how did it get here? And maybe even more important, how does it stay here? I watched my family use all of their energy to try to protect us from what might happen. What could happen. And in the meantime, we've lost sight of what is happening. And the collateral damage when you live life that way is that your relationships grow unhealthy today because you're so worried and so afraid of what could happen tomorrow. That's how a marriage can wake up one day, look across the bed, and feel like you live in separate zip codes. You didn't pay attention to what, as husband and wife, you must do in the storm. Either you come together or you begin to fall apart until someone falls overboard. If we do not begin to better identify when and where we leave our peace, we'll live without the peace. And when you live without the peace of God, you live without one of His most powerful provisions. The provision of God's peace is intended to bring heaven to your hell and heaven to your earth. And in the middle of your storm, God, and only God has the ability to speak to your storm that's raging round about you. But God loves you enough to say, you know what? I'm going to let this storm teach you how to make every effort to live in peace with me, with each other, and with others. And I realized this week at home, man, there's casualties in a storm. Because too often we use what little energy we have left in the storm to fight for our rights, to fight for our future, and to work to control outcomes that are not guaranteed nor certain. I'm so glad that Jesus Christ is the same yesterday, today, and forever. And can I remind you this morning, He is in the storm with you. And He's not just in the storm,
He's in your heart. He's in your boat. He is on your side. He has the power to still your storm on the outside. So let him give you the strength this morning to begin to speak to the things on the inside of you that has cost your peace. And may you rise up today in the strength of the Lord and say, "Peace be still. Fear, you cannot get in my boat. Anxiety, you cannot get in my boat. I relinquish all control to him. I will trust in the Lord with all mine heart. I will not lean into my own understanding, but this morning I will surrender all my ways according to his word, according to his way, according to his will, and he will direct my path, and he will take me from this side of the storm, through the storm, to the other side of the storm." So right now, by faith, stand on the ground that represents the other side of your storm and let out a praise for God's peace that brought you through. I let out a praise. I'm on my way. The steps of a good man are ordered by the Lord, and he delights in my way. Devil, you better look out. I'm on my way to the other side. My marriage is on its way to the other side. My children are on their way to the other side. I'm taking my grandbabies and my great-grandbabies. I'm taking everything God says is yes and amen, and I'm headed to the other side. Go ahead and confuse the devil right now by having the audacity to claim the promises of God, and don't just praise with a yes, praise with an amen. Remain standing if you are, and if not, would you please stand as this morning? I want to speak this blessing that Pastor Fowler gave to me this morning. And when I read it this morning, I thought this was so appropriate for the direction I felt like God was taking this service. So if you would hold your right hand up, please, for today I bless you to experience God's perfect peace, which surpasses all understanding. May his peace guide and guard your hearts and minds as you live in Christ Jesus. May stress, fear, and doubt leave your mind as you allow God to take control. May you be hidden from the enemy's snares. May your roots go down deep into the soil of God's unconditional, marvelous love. May you rest in his plans for you, which will prosper you and not harm you. I bless your emotional life, and may the Holy Spirit set you free from heartache, disappointment, dread, grief, or rage you cannot resolve. May God cause you to forget the pain of your past and make you fruitful and prosperous in your future. May you understand deep in your heart that God will always provide a safe place for you, a place of refuge. May his perfect love displace any fears in your life. May you refuse an anxious heart, and may you embrace a faith-filled one. May you stomp on your fears and dance because of your dreams. May you shun the shame of your youth and hold tight in your new identity in Christ. May you walk in the peace of God this morning, and may you not be troubled or afraid. May you be blessed coming. May the blessing of the Lord go with you. You are blessed in the name of the Lord. I bless you in the name of the Lord. And together everyone said, put your hands together and be blessed, for this shall be a house, a heart, and a place of faith.
This concludes the message. For prayer or more information, email prayerline@dominionchurch.org or call 281-554-3600. Thank you for listening.